Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah on the fourth wide line of Daf Yud Ches. Mosru lo zekenim miziknei beizdin. We're referring to the Kohen Gadol during the 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Shiva Yomei Prisha. He was presented with sages of the basin, the Kurin Lefonov B'Seder Hayom. Rashi points out that this took place every day. Now, Seder Hayom is a reference to the Parsha of Achrimos, the Parsha in Sefer Vayikra that deals with Yom Kippur. So, every one of the 7 days of the Yomei Prisha, they would read that to him, the Omrim Lo, and they would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Kro Ato B'Ficha. They would say, you read from it. You read the Parsha in the Torah. Shema shochachto, o shema lo lamadato. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you didn't even learn it ever before. Erev Yom HaKippurim, Erev Yom Kippurim, Shacharis, on the day of Erev Yom Kippur, the 9th of Tishrei, in the morning, Ma'amidim Oisoy Bishar Mizrach. They would have him stand at the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Azora, U'mavirin Lefonov Porim V'Elim Ukvasim, and they would pass in front of him these kind of animals, cows, rams, and sheep, Kadeshe Makir V'Rogil Bavoida, so that he should be familiar with the animals that he will have to sacrifice during Yom Kippur day, the next day. Kol shiva sayomim lo hayu moinim mimenu ma'achol mishte. During the 7 days leading up to Yom Kippur, with the exception of the seventh day, which was Erev Yom Kippur, so during that week they didn't withhold from him food and drink. In other words, they didn't place any limitations of what he could eat. Erev Yom Kippurim im chashecha. However, on Erev Yom Kippur, before sundown, in other words, toward the end of the day of Erev Yom Kippur, lo hoyu manichim oisilechol harbe, they would not allow him to eat a lot, b'nei shamaychol mevi es hashina, because a large meal brings upon fatigue, and the goal, as we will learn, is to make sure he stays up the night of Yom Kippur so as to avoid any problem of an emission, a male emission that would lead to his becoming tomei. The Gemara, Bishlomo Shema Shochach L'Chayi, granted that you could have a situation of a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, as his name indicates, he's a very important individual. Even so, it could be that he forgot. L'Chayi means correct, fine, it could be that he forgot the Parsha of Achrimos, and hence it was they needed to read it for him. Elo Shema lo lomad, but the suggestion in the Mishnah that maybe he didn't learn it ever, mi mukminon ki hai gavno, would we set up or appoint a Kohen Gadol like that, so ignorant and so lacking in basic education? V'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source that shows us what is required of a Kohen Gadol. The Pasuk says, V'ha-Kohen ha-Gadol me'echov. What do we learn from that? Shiehei, that the Kohen Gadol shall be Gadol me'echov b'koyach, b'noi, b'chochmo, v'osher. He should be greater than any of the other Kohanim in strength, in beauty, in wisdom, and in wealth. And you'll notice we dashed on b'chokhma because that's what is relevant for our discussion. Achirim umrim, there's another opinion that adds, minayim shi'im ein lo, how do you know that if a Kohen Gadol doesn't have financial means of his own, she'echov hakohenim magdilin oisoi, that his fellow Kohanim have to contribute funds so that he becomes a man of wealth? Tamalomar v'hakohen hagadol me'echov, the same pasuk, and their take on the pasuk is gadlehu mishel echov, enhance him or increase his wealth mishel echov from the means, from that which his fellow kohanim have. Now it could be that the difference between the Tanakama is that he has to initially be a man of means. According to the Acherim, even if he is not a man of means, but he has the other characteristics, so the other Kohanim have to make him a man of wealth. Omar Rav Yosef, Loi Kashya. Well, up till this point, though, we have a problem, and that is that the source indicates that he has to be a man of Chochmah, of Torah knowledge, and to suggest that he is a person that never learned Chumash would be a contradiction to being a man of Chochmah. What's interesting, by the way, in this discussion is that a person who had once learned but forgot, that isn't considered a lack in Chochmah. But a person who had never had learned, so that's what arouses the Gemara's objection. So the Gemara answers, Omar of Yosef, lo kashya, kan b'mikdash rishon, kan b'mikdash sheni. There is a difference. In the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, in fact, you wouldn't have a situation as described in the Mishnah of Shema Lo Lamadato, because in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, they were diligent in establishing and appointing Kohanim Gedolim according to the rules of Torah. However, in the time of the Mikdash Sheni, in the second Beis HaMikdash, there were those that had not learned, and that people were appointed or achieved or acquired the position through means other than merit. For example, buying their way into the office. And an illustration of that follows the Omar Ravasi, Tirkava de Dinri. The Tirkava is an amount. It's three kav, which is a half a sa'ah. And in this case, it's a reference to a certain quantity of coins. Tirkava de Dinri. Dinri, and Rashi adds, there were gold coins. Ailo le marto bas baisus. This woman, Rashi describes her as being a widow that married a second time, and she married a gentleman by the name of Yoshua ben Gamla, and she was a woman of great means, and she paid the king of that time money to install her husband, Yoshua ben Gamla, into the office of Kohen Gadol. So this Rav Asi tells us that she bought her husband's way into the office. That's again, we'll read Tirkava de Dinri Ailo le Marta bas Baisus. Ailo's literally to pick up or to put in. So she paid Lianai Malka, the king Yanai, ad de Ukme Leishua ben Gamlo bekanu Ravavi, until he appointed Yoshua ben Gamla, her husband, to the position of Kohen Gadol. So you see, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, people were buying their way into the office, indicating that ascension to that office was not concomitant with their merits, per se. Omar Erev Yom HaKippurim Shachris V'chulei Tono Af HaSeirim. This is another Tanaic source that indicates that they passed in front of him goats as well. Our Mishnah, though, doesn't make reference to goats. It mentioned cows, rams, and sheep. V'tono didon, my time alo tono si'irim. Our Mishnah, why did it not make reference to showing her or parading in front of him goats? Answer. Kevon di al-chit ka'osu chol shadaite. Since the goat is brought as a sin offering, it's a sin offering brought on behalf of the nation of Israel, and since its role is as a sin offering, seeing that will cause the Kohen Gadol, in the opinion of our Mishnah, what's called Chalishus Adas, a feeling of despondency. And we want him to be of an upbeat frame of mind, not despondent. Well, if despondency is achieved through this association between animal and sin, Yachi Par Nami Ol Alchet Hud Asi, the cow which was passed in front of him, in according to our Mishnah, why so? It too is brought as a sacrifice for sin atonement. The Gemara answers, Par Kevon De Olov V'Alechov HaKonim Hud Asi. Since the par is coming to atone for his own, the Kohen Gadol's own sins, and his fellow kohanim, be'echov hakohanim yiko inish diis bei milsa, if amongst his fellow kohanim there is someone who is a sinner, meida yodale, he, the Kohen Gadol, will certainly have known about it, umahadu le b'tshuva, and that will motivate him to have him, have the Kohen Gadol will then seek out the fellow kohen's repentance. In other words, he'll be able to take action, and that will take the place of despondency. Which is a very interesting insight over here, is that when you can do something about a negative situation, then you don't get preoccupied with depression and despondency, but you can take action, and he would do that. However, Bekulu Yisrael, lo yoda. As far as the mass of the Jewish people, he doesn't know who is the sinner and who is not, and who needs the atonement and who not, etc. And having this sense of inability to rectify, to control, to bring about penitence by some type of proactive motion, therefore he will feel despondent. That's, of course, that's the consideration of the Tana of our Mishnah. Omar Avino, Hainu Damri Inshi, based on this, specifically the Kohen Gadol and his familiarity with his fellow Kohanim and their inner behavior, so the common saying arises, I bar achtech dai lo have, if your nephew, bar achtech, literally is your the son of your sister, if he is a policeman, chazi b'shuko kamei lo tachlif, if you see him, or see to it that you don't run into him in the market, or alternatively, if you see him in the market, don't pass in front of him, because he'll know what you have violated, and he can conceivably take you into the police. Kol shivas hayomim lo hoyu moinin v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that during the 7-day pre Yom Kippur period, he was not restricted in what he could eat. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, machulin oisoi siltos ubeitzim, on erev Yom Kippur, he would be fed siltos, is food made of solas, flour and eggs. Kidei lemas miso, this would bring on a loose system, loose bowels, so that would free him, so to speak, of any waste in him already by erev Yom Kippur, so that the next day on Yom Kippur itself, he doesn't have to interrupt the Yom Kippur service that he is conducting in the Beis HaMikdash for relief purposes in the bathroom. Omru lo, well, upon hearing this, the other Rabbonim said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa, feeding him on erev Yom Kippur siltos ubeitzim is the worst thing to do. Kol shekein shata mevioli dechimum, you're going to bring him to a state of, now chimum literally is body heat, but Rashi says chimum is that which will arouse a male emission of keri, of semen, and that will cause him to become tomei, so that these foods, the siltos and beitzim, are marbim as a keri. Tanya, Sumchus Omar Mishum Rabbi Meir. Sumchus quotes his Rabbi Meir, Ein Machilin Oisoi. Now we'll have a couple of abbreviations on this line, and the Gemara will explain them as we go on. So there are three points. Number one, Lo Avi, the Amri Lo, a second version is Lo Abavi. And number three, Viesh Oimrim Af Lo Yayin Lovon. And this will all be explained. Lo avi, what are we not to feed him? Lo esrog, velo beitzim, velo yayin yosh. Now, in the context of this Gemara, it would seem that this is what we want him to avoid on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, we're saying that pshat as in the context of this Gemara, so that you wouldn't want to feed him these items, esrog, velo beitzim, or not eggs, and not aged wine. The Amri lo lo abavi, the second opinion was that. So it's the same list, but one point is added. Lo esrog, velo beitzim, velo bosor shomein, that's the added thing. That's rich or fatty meat, velo yayin yoshan. V'yeshomrim aflo yayin lavon, the third point in the source was we're not going to give him white wine either. Meshayayin lavon mevi es adam lidei tuma, because white wine can bring a person to an emission. Tuma is a reference to the defilement as a result of the emission. And once again, we're talking about Yom Kippur, and he has to work in the Beis Hamikdash, and with an emission and tuma, he'll become unfit. The Gra takes out a number of words here, so we pick up after the parentheses. Elozer ben Pinchas Oimer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Ein ma'achilin oso, and again the same structure of you have abbreviations, which will be explained by the Gemara. So he says that he's not to be fed lo chabbi, velo gabom, velo kol dvarim amavim lidei tuma. This third point is alluding to something else, something added, because we already have here two things not to feed him and two abbreviations, and this three is going to add more. Lo chavi, what is that? Lo cholov, not milk, velo gvino, not cheese, velo beitzo, and velo yayin. Beitz and yayin we saw referred to before. Velo gabom, may grisim shel pool. This is water that's made from, pool is a type of bean, so we're talking about water that is associated with that food item, grisim shalpul, and ubosar shomein, that we saw earlier, the rich meat, u morius, and not to feed him morius either. The lo kol dvorim hamavim lidei tuma lasuye mai. This inclusionary expression, what is it coming to include? Lasuye ha de tarabonan. It's coming to include what we're going to see in the following Tanaic source. Hamisha dvarim mevinas adam lidei tuma. There are five food items that could bring a person to the emission. The elu hain, and they are the following. And we're going to make reference to some of them through translation, and some of them we're just going to leave as they are. If you are familiar with Old French, you can take advantage of Rashi's explanation. So these are the five items. Shum is often translated as garlic. V'hashachlayim, v'hachal gilugois, those are featured in Rashi in French. V'habetzim, mentioned eggs. V'hagargir, also Rashi has a French word for that. Now, having mentioned gargir, we have a posuk, Vayetze echod el hasode lelakid oirois. Posuk in Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet Posuk Lamites. Says that someone went into the field to gather oros. Tana Mishmei Rabbi Meir, it's explained in the name of Rabbi Meir, ze gargir. Oros is known more commonly, if you will, as gargir. More commonly, we mean in the context of the Gemara. Rashi gave you a French word for that. Amar of Yochanan, Loma Nikra Shmon Oros, why is Gargir called in the Pasuk by the term Oros? Answer, Shemi Eros Es Hoinaim, it has a positive effect on one's eyesight. Amar of Huna, Hamotse Gargir, one who finds Gargir, Im Yochol Ochlo Ochlo, if you can eat it, so eat it. V'im Lav, Maviro Agabi Enov, if not so, then pass it over or rub it over your eyes. Omer of Papa, Begargiro Matsrina. This is true with regard to a special variety of gargir. It's a type of gargir that grows on people's borders. It's used as a border marker. So that's the gargir that has this positive effect on one's eyesight. Omar Rav Gidol Omar Rav Achsenoi, if you are visiting someone, then and you want to avoid embarrassment, lo yochal beitzim, person should not eat eggs. As we mentioned before, that could bring about a release, and it'll stain his sheets in the house that you are being housed, and that will embarrass you. The lo ishan betalisa shel baalavayasen, don't borrow his talis, his garment, or maybe we can say, don't use your host's pajamas for sleeping. The topic heading for this section of the Gemara we've noted very briefly, ishto liyom, translated means a wife for a day. Now, we're going to learn in the next few lines, up till the Mishnah, a topic that's, I would say for us, people who are listening to this recording, will be struck by something amazing. But, and that is the attempt of, you'll have here Rav and Rav Nachman, that when they would leave their homes for on a trip, they would see to it that there was a woman waiting in their at their point of their destination to be their wives. In other words, they have their regular wife, their regular family, but if they would have to go, they'd go on a trip, it would be important for them to have a wife waiting for them. Of course, we're talking in the monogamy era, where bigamy was allowed. So the Rabbanan, in order to maintain their kedusha, their purity, their sanctity, and not be, we'll say, not be tempted to engage in acts of ill repute, of immorality, a sanctioned woman, sanctioned married for them, married for these rabbis, as we'll explain in the Gemara, was waiting for them at their destination, so that if they had an urge or for relations, for intimacy, they could do it if need be. We'll see more about this in the Gemara, but this is it's amazing in the sense of what extremes our sages took of to preventive measures, so as not to be nichshol in the problem of zera levatola or acts of ill repute, etc. An attempt to maintain sanctity, so that then they would go to this extreme to prepare a situation that in the extreme case, they would have a very kosher situation waiting for them. Something certainly to think about. The Gemara, Rav ki mikla ledarshish. Rav, when he would travel to this place, and Rashi adds, shom hoya rogulela. He apparently was a regular traveler to this place. So when he would go there, machriz, he would announce, man havya leyoyma. Who will be mine for a day? Rashi says, "Man havi liyoma yesh isha shetinose li liyoma shesakev kan." Is there a woman that will be willing to marry me for a day, the day that I tarry in Darshish? The Tate say, "Laachar mikan," and then be not married, meaning he'll in effect be divorcing her afterwards. So, as there's a common saying, to be a king for a day, here it's a case to be. To be Rav's wife for a day. Is there any woman willing to do that? Rav Nachman, kad mikla l'shachantziv machriz, same thing here involving Rav Nachman, when he would go to a place called Shachantziv machriz, man havya liyoma, who will be my wife for a day? The Gemara asks, is this a proper thing? Is this right? The Hot Tanya, we question, Rabbi Lezmi Yankov Omer, lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu, v'yelech v'yisa isha b'medina acheres. A man should not marry a woman in one region and then travel to another region and marry a woman over there. Again, here it's not an issue of bigamy per se, but it's an issue of having two wives, but in distant locations from one another. Because what could very well happen? This man will impregnate woman one and impregnate woman two. They will have children. One will have a little girl, the other will have a little boy, and they are in effect, these children are brother and sister from a common father. And what's going to happen? Shemo yizdavgu ze so ze. The word yizdavgu, the word zivug, is to mate, is to pair up. In simple terms, the boy and girl that we just described that were born in these two distant locations will meet up with one another. And a brother will end up marrying a sister. And fill the world with illegitimate children. Regarding this kind of situation, it says, the world will be filled with Zima. Zima is immorality. The Gemara answers, Amri, as far as if that's your concern with regard to Rav or Rav Nachman having wives in two different locations and they're bearing children, the children are not going to, the brother and sister aren't going to end up marrying one another because Rabbonon Kola Islahu. Rabbonon, that means the rabbis, were well known, and their fame or their name would be attached to their children. So even though the father is not around, the kids are known as daughter of Rav or son of Rav. And hence, if they should ever meet up, they'll know that they are brother and sister. The Gemara asks, but still, how practical is this, how practical are these measures that Rav and Rav Nachman took? V'amar Rava, Tavua Linosei V'nispaisa, a man seeks out a woman in marriage, so that, let's say, Rav would come to Darshish, or Rav Nachman would come to Shachantziv and say, he'll make an announcement to who will be my wife, and so some woman would agree. At that point, that's Tavua Linosei, man sought out a woman in marriage, and this Baisan, she agrees. At that point, there's an emotional reaction within the woman that has a physiological manifestation, and that is a release of blood, and female blood release is something that that makes her forbidden. And here we're going to, strictly on a Torah level, it'll make her forbidden for a period of 1 week. If he's staying there for a day, what will he have accomplished? So he'll have sought out a woman, but she won't be allowed for him. So what benefit is there in even making this offer to seek out a wife for a day? They won't be able to be together because upon her agreement, she already experiences this emotional outburst or inburst, if you will, as it's more of an internal reaction. And the halacha says, "Sricha leishev shiva nikiyim." She has to then observe 7 clean days, because 7 clean days would mean 7 days of not seeing any blood flow. At the conclusion of which, then she would be allowed. But here we're talking about his coming and seeking her out to be my wife for a day, not a wife for me 2 weeks from now. So the Gemara answers. There are two approaches. Rabbonon odoi havamodu lahu. The Rabbonon made an announcement. Mikdam havu mekadmi umeshavi shlucha, and they sent an emissary 7 days ahead, so that the announcement made to the women in that community that Rav is coming, he'll be here in a week from now, is anyone that wants to be his wife, and if a woman would agree, so she'll agree at that point, experience this possible blood release. She'll be Tameah for the 7 days, and when the rabbi comes, she'll already be allowed. V'boyesema, another explanation is without the emissary going ahead, Yehudi havu miyachti lahu. Rashi says, Yehudi ma'alma, designated or specified, is all that took place. A woman would have been specified, designated to be his wife. The ain is kokin lohen. He wouldn't have actual intimacy with her. Elo shehanosui isha ainis ave kemisha ain lo isha. A man who knows that he has a wife. So Rav would arrive in Darshish, make this proposal, she would agree, that's enough. the fact that she was designated and specified is enough, and that will solve the problem that we introduced earlier about a man being away from his wife and having all kinds of female-related desires. So, as the Gemara explains, l'fisha'eno doy mamishi yesh lo pas basalo, l'misha'ein loy pas basalo. First, we translate, you can't compare someone that has bread in his basket to someone that doesn't have any bread in his basket. And someone that knows that he has food in the cupboard, so he's not going to be as ravenous, as hungry, as someone that knows that he doesn't have any food in the basket. And the idea being that if you know you have a wife, you know she is your wife, so that will reduce all the undesirable desires that we made reference to before. The Mishnah. And we continue here with the that which took place regarding the Kohen Gadol and Erev Yom Kippur. Masru Zikne Beis Din, the Zikne Kehuna. Now this is, we're talking here about the Zikne Beis Din, those that were reading in front of him the Parsha of Achremos, and then they gave him to the elders of the priesthood of the Kehuna. Velu Lalias Beis Avtinas, and they brought him to the upper story of the Beis Avtinas. This is the chamber in which the Ketores was prepared. Avtinas was a family who knew how to make the Ketores, the incense. And on Yom Kippur day, the Kohen Gadol would have to gather two handsful, cupped together, of incense, grains that were the incense, and bring his cupful of hands and coals that were in a vessel specifically for coals, carry them into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, once again while his hands were cupfulled with, or we should say, they carry the coals and the pan of incense into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and while there he would have to manipulate, we'll say, the coals and the incense while his hands are cupfulled with the incense. This is a very difficult thing to do, and hence he needed training for this. So the Mishnah tells us they brought him to the Beis Avtinas v'shbi'uhu. They made him swear that he is not a tzeduki. V'nifteru v'holchu lohem. The tzedukim tzedukim were people that were non-believers, non-acceptors of the oral tradition of the Torah law, and hence their practice with regard to the incense was to have the incense placed on the coals before entering the Holy of Holies. That we call as they were mesakin b'chutz, and then brought it in already burning. This, we who have the oral tradition don't accept that, but rather only once you're in the Kodesh HaKodeshim was the incense placed on the coals. So he was sworn to allegiance that he is not a tzeduki. The nifteru v'holchu lehem, and then they left. The omrulo, and they would tell him, ishi kohen gadol. Ishi is like a master kohen gadol. It's a title of distinction, a way of addressing him, or in Hebrew, adoni kohen gadol. Onu shluchei beis din ve'ata shlucheinu ushliach beis din. You are our emissary and the emissary of the court. Mashpin onu alecho b'misha shochan shmo b'bayis hazeh. We bind you by oath in the name of he whose name in the name of he who dwells in this house, namely the Almighty. Shelo tishane dovor mikoma she'amarnu l'cha, that you shall not change in the practice of all that we said to you. Hu poireshu boyche v'hein poireshu bochen. He leaves them and cries, and they leave him and cry. And the Gemara will explain what this crying is all about. Now, im hoya chacham doresh, we're now talking about the night of Yom Kippur. If he is himself a scholar, so he will lecture at matters of halacha. V'im lav, if he is not a chacham, and once again, this is all to make sure he stays up at night and not experience any mission. And if he's not a sage, talmid chachamim darshin lefanav. So those that are scholars will hold forth in his presence. Rashi says, v'im lav chacham hu v'yodea lahavin v'lishma davar halacha v'im yodea lidrosh darshin lefanav. If he's not a chacham with the ability to hold forth, but he does understand, so someone like that will then be provided with scholars that will lecture on matters of halacha for him. V'im rogil likros kore, if he is accustomed to reading from the Tanakh, so he does that. V'im lav, and if not, then Korin Lefonov, then others will read in front of him. And my assumption here is that this is referring to someone that is not even a chacham, who's capable of understanding a legal lecture. So, as the Mishnah says, so he'll let him read Tanakh, and if he's not capable even of that, so then Korin Lefonov, then others will read in front of him. And again, this all reflects the situation of the high priesthood in the Second Temple period. What would they read? Again, the goal is to keep him interested and up all night. So what would fulfill the bill? Well, here it is. Be'iov, Ube'ezra, Ube'divrei Hayomim. In these books, Rashi points out that they are books that draw one's interest, and he therefore won't be overtaken by sleep. Zechariah ben Kvutol Omer, he testifies that poemim harbe korisi lefono bedoniel. Many times I read to the Kohen Gadol from the book of Daniel, and that maintained his interest, and he stayed up all night. At the top of Yutes Amud Aleph, the Gemara says tono lelamdo chafina. The moving of the Kohen Gadol to the Beis Avtinos that the Mishnah said, we already explained it. But here we explain it based on the Gemara, that he was brought to the Beis Avtinos lelamdo chafina, to teach him how to maneuver himself with regard to taking the two hands full of ketores and bringing that into the Kodesh HaKadoshim along with a pan of very hot coals. How all that was going to be done, he had to be trained in that. And that's what our mission was making reference to. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in contacting us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.